Hello, friends. Welcome. I know many of you, not all of you, but many of you. I'm Stephen Johnson. I'm the Dean of the Honors College, and it's my privilege to welcome you and to introduce our speakers for this session or summit this morning. Which is an honor for me, and I'm very privileged to see this day come. Several years ago, I went to Brady Bryce in his office and said, I need to tell you about my friends and their work, and if I knew the book that was in, the research that you were doing, the writing that you were doing, and said, if we could have them come. And he said, I have something in mind, and I think he knew that this particular theme and the Gospel of Luke was coming. I can think of no more relevant, profound topic or theme related to Anai's life and story and Elaine's work. And so it's my privilege to introduce to you Dr. Elaine Hamilton. She has served in the past as professor of teacher education at the University of Texas called PASO. Just correct me if I get any details wrong. And as past chair of the teacher education department. She's an award-winning teacher in schools along the Mexican border and a researcher in Mexican and Mexican-American education. She has a profound insight, and I've come to know her over the last several years as a gifted researcher and intellectual and a passionate friend. And so it's my privilege to welcome you to our campus. I'm so thankful that you've come to be with us. Anai Carrillo is with us this morning. She is my sister and my friend. I met her in 2006 in Juarez. In their home, where they received me warmly with gifts of love and food. I should underscore food. And they have taught me much and changed my life profoundly. She is intelligent and courageous and fierce. She loves God with passion, and she loves people with passion. Her story is compelling and inspiring and instructive for my life, and I know for many of you. And I'm so delighted that she is here to share her story with you. She currently resides in Tuxtla, Chiapas, with her family. She's the mother of four beautiful children, Ava and Julie and Elaine and Kike. She is a missionary, a servant of God, and the director of five, I'm sure you'll talk about this at some point today or tomorrow, five schools of institutes of cosmetology to empower and equip women in Mexico. So please help me. Well, I want to pray, and then we'll welcome them. So let's pray. God, I'm thankful for this morning, for this time together. I'm thankful for these servants of yours. I'm thankful for their presence with us today. Help us to listen and learn from what they have to share. Bless them and strengthen them in every way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please help me welcome Dr. Elaine Hamilton and Anai.
Hampton.
And just like Dana says, I'll take anything she says.
This is the book for which this session is titled, Anai's Will to Learn, A Woman's Education in the Shadow of the Maquiladoras. And they have copies for sale. I'd encourage you to pick one up. And they'll sign it for you as well. So have those here.
Yeah. That's great. Thanks so much. But I'm going to do just a quick introduction and overview, and then we're going to hear from the woman whose voice is the most powerful voice on the planet, I think, and we'll see what she says. I have a few little pictures to kind of give us the context of where we are and what we're doing, and so hopefully you read that. And these are the main themes that you can look at that we go through in the book. It's so hard to talk in a linear way about the book because it's just satellite stories going everywhere. So I will get lost in that pretty soon. I've tried not to, but unless I read it, I'll get lost. But I'll try to just do the context and then let an eye take over. And this is the area that we're looking at. This is looking into Juarez from a big old smelter smokestacks that were just recently torn down, the Rio Grande. And then it's a huge, huge city. When we were doing our research, 1.5 million, and right across the border, about 800,000 people. So a big, complex area. So that's why I had to hire Anai to help me do my previous research, because she knew the city, and she knew how to get into those factories, and I didn't. And this is what the outskirts look like. This is not Anai's community, but it's one we visited quite often. And all of the area around the city looks very much like this. No paved roads, houses made of cement block or concrete block, or sometimes just packing pallets and cardboard. Because this is where the people who work in the big factories, the maquiladoras, which we'll talk about in a minute, it's the only place they can live, the only place they can afford the land, which is still way too expensive because people take advantage of it. And so they have such a small income that they can only build with whatever they can find. But hundreds of thousands of people around the city living in places like this. And another view. This is a more established one, so the houses are in pretty good shape. But there's mountains over here and then mountains over here, so we're kind of in a valley, which explains some of the flooding. This is the bridge, one of the bridge scenes we cross many, many times, breathing nice carbon monoxide. And this is the day I met Anai, the first day we met at the church. And baby Eva, who's now 12 years old, and the hero and the baby. And the book starts out, and our first stories were when we went to visit her church, and Anai and I and the baby went walking up and down and started our friendship right then in front of this church. Over to this side was a little bitty Sunday school room, and the nice church people let them live in that Sunday school room. They had been married very long. And little tiny room. She said, come on into my Sunday school room, I'll show y'all my books. That's one thing she wanted to talk about, her education. So we read her books, and then you'll see other things that happened there later when the floods came. And this was their first house that many of you helped them get started, because they were able to move out of that church to where their dream was to set up a church in one of these rural, remote communities. And Enrique and I kept expanding this house. It's now maybe two or three times as big. And then some of you, there was a little building that was a church building over here for a while too. And one time, when we first started, I told Anai, let's go back to Chiapas and start with your childhood. So we went to, this is her childhood home, and that's her grandma. It's where she grew up. Thatched roof. And there's a little pastry called Nuegros that's famous in the book for many reasons. And Anai may tell you a Nuegros story. And this is Anai and her grandma making Nuegros.
Good.
And so before we took that trip, I stayed in a nice house, the one that we showed you. And every night, time to go to bed, you don't say anything, you just pile up on the bed, and everybody piles on top of Anai, and they read a few books. Now, Eva was older, and so she read her own books. There was no room for her anyway. And this is one of Anai's beauty schools.
Is there no microphone anywhere?
Okay. I guess there's not. They're recording this, so I will talk a lot louder for you.
Okay.
So thank you very much for telling me that. Okay, that's it. Okay. I guess I just will try. Okay, so first of all, what is a maquiladora? So a maquiladora is a big factory. It's a mostly U.S. factories over there. And at the time we were doing this, there were 300 maquiladoras in Ciudad Juarez. So these had popped up from the 1980s. So within 20 years, 300 factories, 250,000 employees had happened in a city that quickly. And my concern with education, I wanted to know what was happening in education. So I was studying the education environment in those areas. And that's when I hired her to be my guide. But this tells a little bit more about the maquiladoras. Let's see. Mexico allowed the maquiladora industry to locate in border towns with the hope that would ease unemployment. However, companies had only one reason for locating a factory in Mexico, and that was to increase their profits, mostly through reduced labor cost. A factory may employ 1,000 to 2,000 people, and 80% of those are the line workers. In the United States, each line worker's salary would be something above $10 an hour, 10 to 20 sometimes. In Mexico, they accomplish that same work for $4.50 to $6 per day. A few places they'll get up to $12, but it's very rare. I didn't interview anyone who was above $6.
A day.
So you're looking at $24 a week. And that's what Ana earned and Enrique earned when they were in the factories. And the cost of living is not that much different than in the United States. A little different, but you have to work hard to find sales. And also the maquiladora industry waxes and wanes with the rhythm of the U.S. economy. So that's what's happening now. Half of those maquiladoras have left because of all of the violence and the economic shutdown, all of those things coming together, as you'll read in the book. And so now we have many people left with few jobs. So when Anai was there, there were many maquiladoras and many jobs and not so many people. So the maquiladoras provided incentives. And one of those was they would provide a tutor for you to go through education. You had to buy your own books, do your own tests, learn everything through the books, but there was a tutor. And that's why Anai came. So I want to say that this is all written. When you do research, you have to set up your methodology. And this has to be a critical feminist ethnography, and it's in the feminist standpoint theory. And because it's this, I'm going to quote this writer, Nagi Hess Biber, it's the woman's oppressed location within society that provides fuller insights into society as a whole. Women have access to an enhanced and more nuanced understanding of social reality than men do, precisely because of their structurally oppressed location vis-a-vis the dominant group. So a nice point of view is extremely rare in the world, and I think it's a great honor that I got to share that point of view with people. So you want to tell some stories now? Yes. Yeah. You want to tell something? Te quieres, yeah. You want to talk? Okay. I don't know if she'll use the book. She'll probably just talk.
I think so. Everybody here is my friend. Because when I don't know people, I have scared to talk about me. And, well, who is a Christian people here? Everybody? Okay. That all what that happened in this book is because God wants to me to have that kind of life. And later, if I don't have that kind of life, I don't know Elaine, and she was my angel. And I don't know Stephen, and I don't know Roger, and I don't know every Jew here. And every American people was doing, Christian American people was doing great things in my life. And I learned too much from them. But not from the American people who go and make big business in Ciudad Juarez. Well, how you see my home in Chiapas, I was really poor people. I was walking each day like 3 or 4 hours to went to the school, back and forth. When I get back to house, I need to get out to sell nueganos each day. Even is when the water is in my legs like that, and I walk every day to sell nueganos for get 3 pesos each day when I finish to sell my nueganos. And when I was a child, always I talk with an angel, and I say, one day I will be different. When I moved to Juarez, it's because the factories send people to get other people, and they told, we have a meeting like that, and they say, in Juarez, we can finish our school. The maquiladoras give free school. They give free houses and free food, and we can get more than 1,000 pesos each week. That's what they say. And we came to Juarez about many people in one van. Many people in one van. Was old van. And you know how many days take to Chiapas from Ciudad Juarez? We was 11 days in that van, all the people. I don't have any food. I don't have any money. The only what I was having was a ring. And I take out from the van and sold to somebody and say, please give me some money for this ring because I want to eat. Sometimes on the road, all the people get out from the van and push the van because the van was broke. When we get into the maquiladoras, was no house, was a big room like that, more cold than that because it was in the winter time. We don't have any blankets, but we have a cartoon, papers, boxes of paper, and we sleep there. I was 15 years old. They changed my birth certificate and they put me 18 years old for work in the maquiladora. And they don't pay me 1,000 pesos. They pay me when I get like 250, 260 pesos a week.
How much is that?
What?
How much money?
About $25 a week.
Uh-huh. And I was working all day long, from 6 in the morning to 4 during the day. Sometimes I work to 6. You know what they give me when I get, because they have a nursing area, and they give me a pill. After I drink the pill with Coke, because they teach me to drink pill with Coke, I was so happy, and I work more fast. And I think that was drug. And all the problems of factories, and many people. My mom, she is still drinking Coke with pill. And I have too many history to tell you, but I don't know why this. And I don't like to tell the history because I start to cry because I don't like to remember bad memories. I like to remember when I went to Peter Piper, when I sleep in Holiday Inn with Roger and with Elaine. That's just like the memory what I really like.
Tell about your school under the mango tree. Yeah.
Well, always I want to study. I went to the elementary school in Chiapas, but was a professor, but was not a place for a school. Was my school was under the mango tree. When the rains come, we put plastic around the mango tree for the rain because all the kids wants to go to the school and the professor say, okay, we have to put plastic. I remember it was blue and I really like lime green. The professor say I was the best student when I finished. He wants to help me put me in a middle school, but my grandma and my grandfather say no. Is the women cannot study, use only the men. And I don't have opportunity to go to the middle school. I cry so much. My grandma was an alcoholic lady. And she wants to take care of the house and to sell the nueganos. Who will sell the nueganos if I move from house? And Well, one more. Tell me, some questions or?
Yeah, we have, we've given you the outline of the book, the chapters in the book, and we thought, you know, like I say, it's so crazy and so wild, so if there's something you're interested in, feel free to bring up that point, and Anai and or I can address that if you'd like to.
I'd like to know how she started the nutrition school.
Yeah.
Do you not have to have a degree or something?
Oh, yeah. So in all of her, I'm going to give one little context. In all of the struggles to get education, which is part of the whole book, the elementary was good. And then from then on, it was a continual struggle to try and find the education to make it through high school. So one time we thought she just couldn't get to high school. So she said, I want to go to beauty school. I can get through that in 18 months or something. So we worked together, got her through beauty school. And then life happened, babies, sickness, and I thought, well, that was money lost. And then she went to Chiapas and?
I went to Chiapas, and I really like to help women. And I say, how I can do? And we start to find the school. But the first time when we opened the school was not a cosmetology school. We're imagining in a small, tiny room. And I say, well, the kids in the middle school, they have English class, but they don't know. Nobody knows English class, and it's so hard for them. And I know, and I want to practice my English. And my husband make a big sign and say, English class. And you know, I love that house because the color of that house we rent for English class was green. But my husband say, Anna, it's green color. And I said, oh, we can go and get it. And he said, I already paid for that. And I said, oh, great. It's green one. When I went to see, it was not green, it was army color, green. And they had that. And, well, I teach English class, and my husband teach Bible class to the Jew. We make a good thing with my husband. And many Jewish people come, more was women. And later, we learn more and we say how we can do that more bigger. And finally, I don't have a degree for teaching English class, but I have a degree for cosmetology. And we open a real school of cosmetology, and we can bring to the students a paper, a government paper, certificate. They finished it. And that's I was so happy. And when we open, more people come. And I say, I have two people. I have three people. I have 60 people. Almost 100 women in that small room. And I say, oh. But all are poor people. And I say, how I can do? I need to pay the rent, I need to pay electricity. And one day I call Elaine. Elaine Hampton, do you can help me with this big plan? And she say, Anna, you are crazy? Why do you do that? And I say, well, if you don't want to help me, it's all right, I will do anyway. And I call Roger, and he say, Roger, do you can help with that plan? Or convince Elaine, please, with your And we did it. Elaine go, and he gets so happy. And finally, I graduate almost 60 people the first time. And it's a good, great idea. But all the ladies have bad problems. I was a teacher of cosmetology. And my husband was a psychology or counselor from the school. He teach with the Bible, and later some people come to the Church of Christ, some people go to the Baptist Church, and their life now is better and better and better. And I think so, all the lady from the town is my friend. And we have more school and more school and sometimes I say, I look like a game. I play the cooks and I threw away, and I don't know what what number we get it. But now is you can go and it's many stylish people in each corner, 3, 5 stylish. And I say, that was my student or not? I say, oh yes. And every places and we call the school ICOM. And all the people are, for the ladies was a honor to be in a school, and they love ICOM. Now I say, I will close it because there's many people, and they say, no, you cannot close it. Close. And you know, it was crazy because we have 60 people, ladies, or sometimes 100 ladies, in different times. I teach hours like a university or something, 1 hour, and the next hour other group. What's funny because the ladies don't want to go out. And sometimes we was all together and the kids. Mm-hmm. And most of the ladies, I teach them how to be cosmetology, and I teach them to have more than 4 kids. And each lady have more than 4, more than 5, and all the kids was outside playing. And I have some picture of that. But many history about cosmetology.
How did you come to know Christ?
Well, my grandma was an alcoholic. When I went to Sol Nueganos, sometimes she went with me to other places. And always she sent to me to Sol and the around of the houses and the ranchitos, and she stayed in one house to drink alcohol. And one night we get back to home and she get lost in a house. We was in a house. She get lost because she was drunk. And we sleep under the tree with many leaves, and the horse lay down. It was a really old horse. And I was praying, then one snake come and bite to us. And my grandma sleep all the night long. But later when she wake up, she was crying like, help, help. And the people call her, the people who know her, they call her La Mala Hora. It's a other story for Mexico. And when I was under that tree, I was praying to Lord. And I promised to Lord, if he take me out from that road and he take care of me, I will follow him ever my life. I was having many troubles in my life, like my stepfather abused me. Well, I have memories, maybe 4 years old, 3 years old. He came to my grandma's house and he abused me. He played with my feminist part. And when I came, when I get older and older and older, I promised Lord to follow him and to be his servant. And it's for that reason I came to be a Christian, and I know God in my life. And I get married with a Christian man. I baptized when I was 15 years old, and my grandma was in Ciudad Juarez. My mother was living really in Ciudad Juarez. But my mother, when I came to Ciudad Juarez and that big van, she don't want to me let go what in her house. And I don't want to go because she is live with my stepfather. When I went to my one neighbor of my mother, and he was a Christian. And I questioned to him about Christian children. He said, yes, I'm going. 1 month later, or 3 months later, I don't remember really well, but I get baptized. My grandmother got angry with me, and she faint me when she know I be baptized. All my arm and my body was with towel. All my body, because I can't Church of Christ.
I have to tell now, because of Roger's work, that she's the grandma's in the group and grandpa are part of their church.
Wow. Yeah.
So things have changed, but it was a very hard one.
Yes.
Because of her, things changed.
Well,
tell them what is behind your grandma and grandpa's house.
Now behind of my grandma and grandpa's house is a church. And now the ranchitos, love and I. The truth is I never had boyfriends. The only one boyfriend I have was my husband. And for the people in the ranchito, I am a holy people. Because they don't know me with bad things, you know.
She kept them hidden. There were some in there.
and now many people go into the Catholic people get angry with us in other Christian church, because when they do reunion, all the people, Jewish people and older people come to our church, and no, in their church is empty. Well,
we laugh about it, but it's a little bit of a problem, really, the competition.
When I get sick about cancer was because all the problems and the contamination and whatever, many of my neighbors died. Thanks God I get out from there. I don't die. But I get cancer maybe 2 times. And the second time when I get cancer, I get sick, and I was under my blanket, and I was praying to Lord because I want to tell my mother, my grandmother, and my father about Jesus. And I say, God, please give me a chance. I want to get back to Chiapas, but just only for 6 months. To tell my grandma and my grandparents about Jesus. And he gave me a chance. I get back, and before 6 months, my grandma get baptized. And my grandpa. I was so scared when she get out from the chair, because my grandpa was the first one who decided. And she get out from her chair, and I was thinking, oh, she will spank my grandpa. And she say, I want to be baptized. I was taking a record tape, but when I listened her, I was like, oh. And I don't take her record tape, you know. And she get angry because I don't take her record tape. But now she is a good, stronger Christian. And she is teaching other people about it. She is so sorry for, she said to Elaine, I was a no good grandmother to Adai. But she said to me always, I love you, I love you, I love you. And that's make my difference. My stepfather, he is still, I want to tell you that. One day I was taking my shower, I was 15 years old or 16, was with my penny and my braids, was taking my shower in my mom's house. And then nobody was in the house. Then I was locking the door and everything, and my stepfather came to my back. I don't know what time he came, but he got back. He opened the door and he was, hey, with me. And I run away with no clothes on all the street. I get embarrassed, but I knocked the door of my neighbor and I said, please, you can help me, give me a towel. And she said, why you have? I don't want to tell you, suddenly crying, 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 crying. Because my mother went to work into the maquiladora and I have a different time. That is sad. I told to my mother after that, and my mother said, you lied to me. And she went to her room, and they told me, go away. I say to the Christian people in Mexico, please, you can help me and give me a house to live. And they say, I have a scare. About, they know my grandfather, my stepfather, and they have a scare about my stepfather. And I went to sleep with my husband's house. He was a youth minister, and he was the only who helped me. And I said to Enrique, I get married with my friend. And he held me, and his family was not a Christian, but was a really good people. And I lived with them maybe 3 months. And later I get back to my home, and I say, oh, now I am so stronger. He don't will do anything in me. And he wants to still do it again. And I have to scare to put him in a jail. Always I say, I'm sorry, but what my brother will say, what my sister will say, what my mother will say. If I put them in, they don't will love me anymore. Yes, I will do that with my stepfather.
And now, will you explain, since I know that you were in Juarez, how far Chiapas is to the, your family lived in Chiapas, and this was, that was in very much southern Mexico, and there's a long distance between that. I know that because I know your story a little bit, but I think it's really difficult for us to change from you're talking to about Juarez and then we're talking about Chiapas because it's a long journey.
We do that journey maybe 1 month ago in a fish camp. Was six people in a small little car that we call the fish can. Well,
sardine can.
Six people.
Yeah, it's
okay. And how long did it take you? How long a drive?
3 days.
3 days.
All day and all the night long. Google say it's about 21 hours, but Google have a business, good business with tourist people, you know. Yeah. They want to know the distance is too short, yeah. But the truth is not that.
Yeah, I've got four questions. I can ask them to y'all at once because they'll be kind of related. The first one is, where do you live now? The second one is, are there any local crafts there? I think they make rugs in Chiapas, if I remember right. I think we got the rug in Chiapas. Anyway, are there any local crafts there that women make that you, that, you know, that we can maybe get involved in buying to help women make money? Well, men as well, but usually it's women. And what are you doing now, and what kind of help do you need?
Primero, ¿dónde vives?
Ya. Segundo,
hay grupos de mujeres que están haciendo cosas, y qué tipo de cosas él quiere ayudar en este tipo de forma.
Okay.
And you can answer me in Spanish if you want to. I won't understand you, but you can.
I know dialect is Celta. I can answer.
Oh.
Mayan dialect. She can use that one.
Okay. I don't know that either. I don't even do English very well.
Well, I live in Chiapas now because my husband is a preacher. And we work together.
What city do you live in?
Now I live in the capital. Is Tuxtla Gutierrez, Chiapas. Now, about maybe 1 month and a half or 2 months, I moved to this city.
So that's the capital of Chiapas?
Yes. And we help ladies and by the ocean, the coast. We help ladies to make with a cosmetology school.
Okay.
And, well, we say all the ways to the ladies. You will learn cosmetology, and if you want to work or you want to finish, it's okay. The cosmetology, the people, they pay a little for pay rent or something like that. And sometimes, my husband teach to the people, because if we teach about youth only, they have too many problems. Like, their husband don't treat them, like in Mexico is many macho men, and they spank them. Sometimes all my ladies come with the eye, purple eye, the arm purple arm or something. Or sometimes when they paint their color, in different color, the next day they came with no hair, with they cut with a machete. Well, but my husband need to work with a husband and with a lady. In some family, the family are changing. And it's for that reason come the idea to make the way. The way we call is Bible called Institute. But we say to the people, if you want to be a Christian, it's okay. If you don't want, it's okay. You only, we are going to teach you what we know. If you decide to choose, it's okay. If not, it's like what I said yesterday, you want to listen to me all day long, or you want to buy the book. And that is what we say to the people in Chiapas. And we work together. We work together. And the north, where the Salta people are, I help the ladies to sew that kind of dress, that dress, that spell. Or sometimes they send me coffee, they bring me coffee, and I sew in the city. And sometimes Elaine call me and say, Anay, what you need for you? Or, but it's more easy to say to her, I need for Christine, or I need for Teresa, I need for, not for me. And, well, that is what we do. What way you can help? You can look for Elaine, or you can send to me a text message. I have a card. It's empty, but I have a card. And, or you can find Roger to help. I have a bank account and it's empty because I never will be rich, because I like to give to the people. Elaine say to me and Roger say to me, Anay, if you have 10,000 pesos today, you will give anyway, and next day you will need more. But
she has the five beauty schools and she's breaking even. Well, she's not even breaking even. There's some contributions because the women come with very few resources, so she allows them in. We provide lots and lots of scholarships. And when we sell the books, you know, the profits of the books are to continue encouraging and helping those women get the scholarships.
Do they make rugs in Chiapas?
All kinds of textiles. There are not so many rugs there. That's more Oaxaca. But they do the...
Oaxaca.
They do weavings like what she's wearing, scarves and dresses and shawls. And
how much is the rug?
Well, we ask $10 donation. Are you welcome to get more? Because all of it goes to her school. So.
How much do they sell those for?
The dress?
The dress is
about, the truth is a, they, if we sell in Chiapas, it's about $20. With this and this and this. But I want to sell in U.S. is about $300.
We do have some fair trade kinds of programs going, so that they'll sell them for it. We try to get the money back to the women for the equal price. If you spend 8 days on this, you need a good money, $50, $100, something like that.
Where is that?
Where do you sell it?
For the weaving, I have a website. It's not exactly a nice group, but she may want to work with you with some of her friends too. But we have a website of another group of Mayan women up in the mountains, and they on the website you can see the. They don't have dresses like that, but they have blouses and scarves and things like that. So we'll share that with you later if you're interested.
But I need to tell you, and I know the same with Elaine. But I am flying from Chiapas and I have too many troubles. First was the professor protest. They locked the door to going to the airport. The second was I lost the airport, the airplane I lost. The third was when I got Juarez, the train stopped the door, the street, the train was on the street. The third point was Elaine and Leon almost, they we will be in jail. And the immigration
is a big issue.
And the fourth, I am here without my family, and I want you to listen to me all day long or buy my book, but I want, if the Mayan group wants to sell the book, they need to pay to the Mayan lady. Because I am here, you need to help me, no Elaine.
I didn't put the right name on the ticket. The whole story about the name too. Millions of stories. If you'd like to stick around and chat with us, we have plenty of time. We'd love to visit with you. Thank you. Wonderful items.